You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Monday, October 5th, 2020. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live step from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Trump takes a COVID joyride as it becomes apparent that the White House will lie about all of this all of the time. No contact tracing, no official tally, but the White House, Amy Coney Barrett super spreader event, infected at least over two dozen individuals in some way within the White House orbit. Meanwhile, Biden tests negative at least three times since the debate. In the Senate, Mitch McConnell determined to forge ahead with Amy Coney Barrett. Dems can slow his roll. Question is, will they? Meanwhile, the Supreme Court tees up a Voting Rights Act, I should say the Voting Rights Act, for another assault on the primary vehicle to assure voting rights. Polling, Biden's lead grows post-debate, even before Trump's COVID joyride. A Democratic Senate candidate's text in North Carolina threatens his lead over COVID-infected Tom Tillis. Pennsylvania will not have Pat Toomey to kick around anymore after 2022. And the Pope goes full Bernie bro. Says Corona shows capitalism has failed. We have record-breaking wildfires, which have scorched now 4 million acres in California. EPA serves up a tribal land for oil spills and toxic dumps. And do masks impair your oxygen intake? Well, the answer is still no. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. It was sort of a crazy weekend. I'm not going to lie. I probably am like most of you, did not sleep. I just kept refreshing Twitter or turning on the TV or turning on the radio to find out who was the latest person associated with the White House to contract, or I should say to publicly announce, or I should say to be forced to publicly announce that they have been infected with COVID because of, and it appears to have emanated out of the Amy Coney Barrett, celebration or introduction to senators. There was an outdoor aspect of this and there was an indoor aspect of this. I don't believe that it's been established. You know, we can't know 100% definitely, but it appears to have emanated from there, particularly indoors where people were not wearing masks. Even wearing masks indoors is no guarantee. CDC says you need to maintain social distancing when you're indoors. And the latest person to announce or have announced, because remember, much of this has been, or at least when we're talking about Hope Hicks, this was not announced by the White House. And it is clear that the White House did not announce the first negative test that Donald Trump had. This is according to the Wall Street Journal. And the latest seems to be Kylie McEnany, who is the president's communications director. There's already been at least two reporters who cover the White House who have been infected. The White House reporters, I mean, how many times have we seen Donald Trump say to White House reporters, take the mask off, I can't hear you. And they're like, rather not, sir. Rather not. And for obvious reasons now. We have a ongoing count of who has been infected in and around the White House, but it is not, I mean, it's not that it's not reliable, at least it's not exhaustive, because they're not telling people. In fact, it also appears that they're not even doing any contact tracing. In other words, people who have been exposed or people who have come out and said there are reporters who have said that they've contracted it, and they're not being contacted by anybody from the White House or the CDC for anybody to say, like, who else have you been in contact with? I mean, I understand if I say I've been infected with it, that the White House wouldn't be terribly concerned. But a reporter covering the White House, one would think that there'd be some concern at the White House about that. So as of yesterday, anyways, PBS NewsHour correspondent had this running count. You have the President of the United States, the First Lady of the United States, Nick Luna, who is a President of the United States body man, Bill Stepien, the chair of the campaign, Chris Christie, who was Donald Trump's debate trainer, Hope Hicks, Kellyanne Conway. There are reports that her daughter also contracted it. Senator Mike Lee, Senator Tom Tillis, Senator Ron Johnson, Rona McDaniel, she is the chair of the RNC, the president of Notre Dame University, Jenkins. There's at least two or three White House reporters and at least 10 debate staff who contracted it. And now Kylie McEnany, that is 27 positive COVID tests that we are aware of. Look, who knows? But I would imagine we're going to hear more other senators who are in attendance at that that event. We're only now 8 days out. It's conceivable you're going to hear one or two more if it gets revealed. We know that the Attorney General, Bill Barr, has now decided, I don't even want to say in an abundance of caution. I mean, it should have been an immediate action to self-quarantine. But he was trying to tough it out. And of course, let's be clear. When you don't self-quarantine, you're not toughing it out for yourself. You're basically telling everybody around you, you guys are toughing it out. I'm fine.
Putting my body on the line.
Totally.
It and really your bodies.
And not to mention, we have Donald Trump. This is Donald Trump. Going out. We'll get to this in just a moment. I've got some, obviously some video and some footage, and we may even get some phone calls in this hour. Just a reminder, your support makes this show possible. You can come become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. We have some sponsors for today's program. As you can see, well, I shaved yesterday. But when I shave, which is not often, I'm not a huge fan of shaving. I think people know that. But for years now, one of our sponsors has been Harry's Razors. And Harry's Razors, probably know the story by now. They ended up buying their own factory in Germany, making much more powerful, much better razors than you can find. They stripped it down. They don't have they're not buffy. You know what I mean by that? Like it doesn't look like you're shaving with like Rambo's.
Jejo.
Right. And you know, they don't come in these huge plastic fortress of ice packages. They're just straight on quality blades with an understated handle, which is actually, I think, very attractive as well. Sort of a classic look on the handle. For me, I love the fact that they have sort of the thinner razor head. What do they call them? Trimmer, I guess. Harry's blades are great. The razors are great. And here's the other part that I really appreciate. Only $2 a blade. And they send them to your door. You can do it on a schedule. Or you can do it ad hoc, as it were. They stand by their blades with 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't like it, you send it back. The blades are great. The low profile is good for my asymmetrical nostrils. Give Harry Sharpit's blades ever a try. They have an amazing offer for our listeners. New U.S. customers can redeem a Harry's trial set at harrys.com/majority report. You're going to get a five blade razor, featuring their new sharper blades, a weighted handle, very stylish in my opinion, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect your blade when you're on the go. Just go to harrys.com/majority report. Redeem your trial offer today. Do so. You will not be disappointed. Also, I know this in running a small business, particularly these days, because I have basically, you know, with my children too in school, it's like I'm running multiple businesses, it feels like. But as an employer, you got a lot on your plate. How do you make this easier? You got to run your business. You got to ensure things are safe. Leave your hiring to the one place that makes finding a qualified candidate easy. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/majority. How do I know that ZipRecruiter is easy to operate, is incredibly effective? Well, because Brendan Finn, one of our top employees. Yeah, Brendan, if I'm not mistaken, you've won like employee of the month, I don't know, like 75% of the time you've been here, haven't you?
Yeah, there was that one month where Matt won, but I challenged it and it's still going through litigation right now.
All right. Well, HR will take care of that. But the bottom line is that's how we found Brendan. And in fact, ZipRecruiter found him. I had many, many, many people apply. I interviewed maybe a dozen people. And I could have interviewed, honestly, in terms of the quality of people, I could have interviewed dozens more. Matt showed up in the feed. I was able to keep it. Brendan did. Brendan showed up in the feed. I was able to keep it organized because of their online. They basically provide you with like an ability to sort of check off certain things and to filter certain things. ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes. They find people with the right experience, and then they actively invite them to your job. Like I say, ZipRecruiter made the entire hiring process efficient, effective, and easy. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Right now, try ZipRecruiter for free. My listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/majority. That's ZipRecruiter.com/majority. MAJORITY. ZipRecruiter.com/majority. Best time to look for employees is when you don't need one. You don't want to be in crunch time. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire. Lastly, as you know, I am statutorily challenged. I've been told this really for the vast majority of my life, my adult life. I don't like to shop generally. And then I worry about shopping online because you don't know if you're going to get the right sizes. You don't know if you're going to find clothes that you like. I have a solution. It's called Stitch Fix. It's a personal styling company. Makes getting clothes that you love, makes it totally effortless. It's a completely different way to shop. It's all about you every time. To get started, go to stitchfix.com/majority. To set up your profile. And then what happens, they deliver great looks personalized just for you in colors, styles, and budget that you specify. So you pay a $20 styling fee for each fix, and it's credited towards anything that you keep in the box that they send you. You can schedule it anytime. There's no subscription required. You're not locked into this. Shipping, returns, exchanges, they're easy and they're free. Stitch Fix does the hard work for you. For me, I got a five pocket pair of, you know, it's like a jean style from Flag and Anthem. I got those Penguin Chukka boots, right, Brendan? Chukka?
Yeah.
It's one of those. Mm-hmm. They're like desert boots, but they're very.
I'm not going to let this turn into a no Mickey.
No, I understand. It's an upgrade though for me. It looks good. And, you know, there was one or two things, like they sent me a mock turtleneck the first time. I just said, I don't want this. I sent it back and they get it. And so you put in like, what your colors are. For me, it's generally like blue or gray or some variant of that. White works for me. And then they send stuff back to you. It's sort of shocking. Certainly better than any members of my family have ever done in terms of picking out clothes for me. Get started today at stitchfix.com/majority. You get 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. That's stitchfix.com/majority. 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. stitchfix.com/majority. All right, folks. So here we are. And just a reminder, check out Nomi's show today at 3 p.m. after this program. And become a member by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. So here is Donald Trump making an announcement, I guess, presumably from his hospital room or hospital waiting area at Walter Reed Hospital. This is yesterday afternoon. And he's got a surprise that he's very excited to tell everybody about. Now, understand the amount of disinformation or misinformation or just lack of information that we have had in terms of the president's health. Now, this is a big deal. This is not, you know, this is not just like, you know, I think we should know about the health of candidates who are running, broadly speaking, particularly as you get closer to the election. There's a need for this to be very timely. This individual that we're talking about, the president of the United States, he doesn't go to Walter Reed empty-handed. He goes with a nuclear suitcase. There are some very, very important decisions that we rely on the president to make that could happen at any moment. The American public deserves to know what's going on with the president. Instead, we get one of these type of videos.
We're getting great reports from the doctors. This is an incredible hospital, Walter Reed. The work they do is just absolutely amazing, and I want to thank them all, the nurses, the doctors, everybody
here. Pause for 1 second.
I've also got...
One thing I want to remind you about Walter Reed, every single one of those people is a government employee. This is government-run health care. Not just government-run health insurance, which is just, you know, basically, how do we pay for this? How do we determine which is the most efficient or worthwhile treatments based upon the massive amounts of data that we've compiled that we're going to subsidize? It's not just insurance. This is government-run, delivered healthcare. Every single doctor that Donald Trump has come in contact with there, it's a check from the United States government. Just thought we should remind everyone of that as he talks about how great the health care is there.
All the nurses, the doctors, everybody here. I've also gotten to meet some of the soldiers and the first responders, and what a group. I also think we're going to pay a little surprise to some of the great patriots that we have out on the street. And they've been out there for a long time, and they've got Trump flags, and they love our country. So I'm not telling anybody but you, but I'm about to make a little surprise visit. So perhaps I'll get there before you get to see me. But I just, when I look at the enthusiasm, and we have enthusiasm like probably nobody's ever had. Our people that love the job we're doing, we have more enthusiasm than maybe anybody. So it's been a very interesting journey. I learned a lot about COVID. I learned it by really going to school. This is the real school. This isn't the let's read the book school. And I get it, and I understand it. And it's a very interesting thing, and I'm going to be letting you know about it. In the meantime, we love the USA, and we love what's happening. Thank you.
You notice how he doesn't say it's hard. He's about to, but he says it's interesting. Have you ever heard of anyone talk about having dealt with a disease as like the only adjective they have is interesting?
I know several people who have had COVID and that adjective hasn't come up.
That's weird. I mean, I can understand if, like you say, like it was horrible, it was painful, it was scary.
Scary.
And in, you know, in some respects, it was sort of interesting to watch the dynamic of the way the doctors were working. But I wouldn't just start with interesting. That's a very odd word choice. That's someone who doesn't want to talk about. And it also sounds to me like, having watched him speak multiple times, that he is still not breathing.
Yeah, that was belabored. That was a belabored 80 seconds.
Yeah, it was. It felt like a long time. There have been reports of doctors at Walter Reed who are just completely shocked that A, he's being let out of the hospital for any reason at this point, and that B, they would put him in a sealed vehicle. This is like one of the White House limos that is bulletproof, obviously, and is impenetrable when it comes to things like a chemical attack. Now, when chemicals and toxins in the air can't come in, guess what can't go out? Now, the reason why you wear a mask is because people can maintain a certain amount of distance from you, and you're cutting down on the distance in which the coronavirus that's inside of you will travel. It will theoretically, like, not have the it slows it down. I mean, I don't know how else to say this. It slows it down. It can't travel as far. But if you're sitting 2 feet away from somebody and they're theoretically talking and, I don't know, shouting and waving or breathing heavily because they're waving so much, you're still basically filling up this area with a certain amount of virus. And it's quite possible there's good venting in this car, in this vehicle. I don't know that we even know the specs of it. I would imagine it would be sort of dangerous to release those specs publicly. But I hope that they ask for a volunteer to drive him in that vehicle. Or they found Secret Service members who were, I don't know, antibody positive. Because that's just stunning for this type of stunt. And of course, again, it sends the wrong message to people, underselling sort of like the dangers of this. But do we have a clip of the joyride he takes?
Yes,
I think people have seen it, but let's take a look at it.
God bless our president. I will die for him. I will die for that man happily. I will die for him. Anybody want to mess with him? You mess with me first. He is a hero, that man. Look at this. Got Gatling guns in here, missile launchers. God bless America. God bless you guys. God bless.
Now, you can hear a voice there that clip has been played quite a bit on social media. We can't quite figure it out. I mean, obviously, it's a real clip. Don't know anything about the person who's saying those words. I have, this is just a suspicion, that it's one of those good liars, those guys who followed around the Republicans back in 2016. But it's very difficult.
Yeah, it really sounds like when they were yelling boring at Trump. Like, this is boring.
But either way, I'm not terribly, it's not terribly off base here. I mean, all those people are up there lined up for the president as the president drives by in what the Washington Post described an hermetically sealed SUV. Now, maybe they have some way of, like, I don't know, huge vents in there that just like pour the air out. I don't know how it would come back in, but man, I wouldn't want to be in that car. He still has symptoms. They have been treating him with all sorts of experimental drugs. One of the things that's very interesting, I think, that we're going to see here And to some extent, I'm actually surprised we haven't seen more pushback by the press. Generally speaking, the press is very reluctant to be forthright and unvarnished in their description of the behavior of the president. However, what they do feel comfortable being vocal and aggressive about is any breach in the journalistic protocols that have been established over the years. And that specifically is, you can't have official people lying to the press, particularly when it comes to the health of the president. There has been a huge sensitivity to this over, I don't know, the last 60 years at least. So I think starting, maybe this it preceded this, but with JFK's assassination, when Ronald Reagan was shot, George Herbert Walker Bush fainted and threw up in Japan at one point.
Eisenhower had a heart attack and Nixon had to take over for a little bit.
Right. These are all really important for democracy, right? You need to know who's in charge. And it is quite clear that the White House, in addition to the fact that Donald Trump appears to have at least gotten one test saying that he was positive and didn't do anything about it. It is clear that this White House is not interested in disseminating any information about this. And that goes for even the doctors who work on this. Look at this clip of Dr. Sean Conley. He is the primary physician working on Trump. He is at Walter Reed Hospital. We have two clips. And the question is, people are trying to determine how serious was this for the president? And remember, like the way that COVID works, it can be severe, then it can seem like it's going to go away, and then 5, 6, 7 days out, it starts getting bad again. And if it was severe early on, that indicates that, you know, Donald Trump is not one of those, you know, very lucky people who 40%, they get it and they just nothing. I had sniffles or something like that. No, that's not the situation. Listen carefully to the question that this doctor has asked about whether the president needed oxygen at any point.
Tell us the president's oxygen saturation level, please.
Yeah, so the last saturation that we had up walking around, he was about 96%.
And he's receiving no, he has not received any supplemental oxygen?
He's not on oxygen right now, that's right.
Pause it. I want you to listen to this. This is just stunning. He has not received any supplemental oxygen? Nope, he is not on any supplemental oxygen right now. That's right. And he keeps saying that's right. This is just like, this is like a course in, like a communications course entitled How to Evade a Question, but Make It Seem Like You're Answering It. Just go back a little bit on the tape and we'll play this again. It really is stunning.
And he's receiving no, he has not received any supplemental oxygen?
He's not on oxygen right now. That's right.
He has not received any at all?
He's not needed any this morning, today at all. That's right.
Do you have an estimated date when he might be discharged?
Well, I don't want to put a hard date on that. He's doing so well, but with a known course of the illness, day 7 to 10, we get really concerned about the inflammatory phase 2. Given that we provided some of these advanced therapy so early in the course, a little bit earlier than most of the patients we know and follow, it's hard to tell where he is on that course. And so every day we're evaluating, does he need to be here? What does he need, and where is he going?
What do you see as the probability that he will need supplemental oxygen going forward?
I don't want to put a percentage on that, but right now all indicators are that that he'll remain off of oxygen going forward.
Yeah, okay, and they return to this later in the, this is pretty just stunning. He refuses to admit that the president needed supplemental oxygen. I want to try this in my everyday life. Did you take out the trash? Yeah, I mean, the trash is going to be taken out. Yeah. No. Did you take it out? Yeah, the trash is going to be taken out eventually. All right, go to clip three. This is a little bit later in that same exchange.
I wanted to take it, and the team agreed, and that's where we proceeded.
Doctor, what was the date of the president's last negative test?
I'm not going to get into all the testing going back, but he and all the staff routinely are tested, and so...
Doctor, what is the PPE protocol for President Trump receiving visitors and doctors?
It's the same as any hospital has. We have an area that's that clean that you put your equipment on, and then beyond that, everybody is fully gowned up, masks, gloves. We're protecting ourselves and him.
Have you done a screen? Has there been any sign of any lung damage whatsoever?
We are following all of that. We do daily ultrasounds. We do daily lab work. The team is tracking all of that.
Has there been any sign of damage, sir?
I'm not going to go into specifics of what the findings of any of that are.
If we just put you down on one thing, has he ever been on supplemental oxygen?
Right now he is not on oxygen.
I know you keep saying right now, but should we read into the fact that he had been previously?
Yesterday and today he was not on oxygen.
So he has not been on it during his COVID treatment.
He's not on oxygen right now.
Has hydroxychloroquine been considered as a viable treatment option for the president?
We discussed it. He asked about it. He's not on it now.
Wow. He sort of, when he starts like laughing, like he's like, he realized that they all realize that they know what he's doing. My assumption is that as a government worker, Donald Trump is his boss. And he has, I don't know how you would make a medical decision on this, but for one reason or another, they have decided not to concede that the president was ever on oxygen. Although they will not he will not specifically say that that hasn't happened. He's just avoiding the question. The other thing that comes up here is this question of when was the last time? I mean, the president presumably is being tested. I mean, at least daily, right? I mean, I would be shocked if it wasn't more than daily, frankly. But you would imagine it's at least daily. And so the question is, when was the last time he had a negative test? If he's getting a test on a regular basis, when was the last time he had a negative test? This is another question they will not answer. Because it goes to the heart of the question, did Donald Trump know that he had it before he went to the debate? Did he know that he had it before he met with other people? I mean, it's been established that he knew he had it before he went to Bedminster for his donor rally. But maybe he thought that was sort of like a commemorative thing that they give to donors. We could have gotten you like some Trump steaks, but what about Trump COVID? Very few people have that. Well, it turns out not so few people. But I mean, it's shocking. I mean, it is shocking, but it's not shocking, right? And
the idea that he would have showed up to the debate knowing almost still shocks me.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that like, and on some level, like I am glad that I am still able to be shocked by this. And believe me, like it's getting harder, but I think it's like, it's literally like just double checking that you have a pulse. Cause each time they do stuff like this, you're just like, how could I be surprised? But of course I'm surprised. Cause I'm a non-sociopathic human being, at least relatively speaking, I think. And what is almost as disturbing is how the right wing is attempting to spin this. And this is not, this is just, let's play this clip. This is Greg Gutfeld from Fox News' The Five. When was this? Was this on Friday? He said this?
Friday, yeah.
And the reason why we're talking this one, but we could find like another dozen right-wing talkers who were talking about this in this way, where it's as if Donald Trump purposely got COVID as a way of, I guess, teaching people that if you are the president and you have access to literally some of the greatest medical care in the world, expense is not an issue. Access is not an issue. And you can be granted any experimental treatments, then maybe you'll be okay. I guess that's the lesson. But here is Greg Gutfeld expressing what I apparently conservatives believe, Republicans believe, about Donald Trump catching coronavirus.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to the point about the script being flipped, the reason why it flipped, and maybe it's a flaw of Trump, is that he didn't hide from the virus. And the reason why he didn't hide from the virus is he didn't want America to hide from the virus. If he was going to ask America to get back to work, right? To get back to work and experience a risk, he was going to do the same thing. He was going to walk out there on that battlefield with you and not sit somewhere in a basement and tell you how you got to get back to work, but not go out himself. So I think he put himself on the line. And the flaw being that as an optimist, as somebody who's trying to convey a message that we're going to get through this and things are going to be better, he had to walk that walk. He had to do that. He could have scared the crap out of everybody, but he refused. And it goes back to his original point about trying to make sure the positive attitude is maintained along with a sense of concern. So he took the risk. He got the virus.
But Greg, this is a difficult moment. And we just want to, you know, again, reiterate our best wishes to him. But he is a man who was very clear in saying that this was going to disappear magically.
There he is. He's got it. Who is that was talking to him at the end? Is that Juan Gonzalez?
Juan Williams. Not the baseball player.
Oh, sorry. Juan Williams. I don't watch The Five that often, but I guess he's there to just basically say, Greg, you're acting like a crazy person. First off, the metaphor sort of breaks down, doesn't it, a little bit? Like it's basically like
I'm going to become a disease vector with you.
Right. Like it's one thing for him to go out and about and let's say like, I'm going to go and treat patients. I'm going to obviously take the most reasonable and sensible precautions, but I'm putting myself in danger. That's not what he's doing. He's putting other people in danger. He's putting other people in danger. His mask was to be worn to protect other people. You could go out there and wear a mask. Very tough argument to make by Greg Gutfeld on the day when the president is getting supplemental oxygen and Joe Biden is just starting to campaign. It's going out there. He's basically the idea that Donald Trump was doing this because he would not ask Americans to do anything that he wouldn't do is just, it's bizarre. I mean, we've heard on multiple occasions when people ask Donald Trump, why aren't you wearing a mask? He's like, everyone here is tested. Nobody gets near me unless they're tested. Now, the fact that they were wrong, that they're both incompetent, their ideas are ill-conceived, and they're incompetent in executing them, that is not to Donald Trump's credit. But the fact remains is that Donald Trump wasn't doing anything that the normal American needs to do if they're forced to go to work under these circumstances. He was making sure that every single person around him was supposedly tested. It's just that their testing protocol is not enough. There is no testing protocol that is sufficient that you don't need to use any safeguards. but he still had those protocols. Remember, the analogy would work if every single American who was forced to go back to work was getting tested and was being, and the people around them were being tested with the frequency that people at the White House were. But again, it shows also that that's not enough. Hope Hicks tested negative on one day, positive on the next day. We don't know if she got it from, if she's the one who gave it to Donald Trump or she's the one who initiated at the super spreader event. We may never know because of how much the White House is refusing to release any information. But the bottom line is that is both a laughable defense of the president and a sad one, and also just as detrimental as everything else that they've been doing. And they're trying to make it like, you know, Donald Trump's a warrior on a battlefield. Well, there's no, the implications of actually not going out there. Every decision that has been made in terms of like salvaging the economy, there have been other choices that this, our government, the president, our society could make. We don't have to force people to go to work in a pandemic. We could be providing resources for people to stay at home. We could be controlling the infection rate so that sending kids to school does not represent a danger because the infection rate has been contained within the community. But to do that, you just simply have to make the decision that, like, we're going to support the economy. We did this for corporations. We could do it for actual individuals. The stock market is flying high because the corporations have an open spigot from the Fed backed by the Treasury. We could do that for individuals. We could do that for people who are being forced to go to work. We could do that to support, I don't know, bars and restaurants. We could make it all takeout. But we're not going to do that. Here is that guy, Dan Bongino. Dan Bongino is like one of the highest rated people on Facebook, right? I mean, like when they make lists of stuff that's being traded around. Now, he was supported by the NRA for an extended period of time. I don't know who his benefactors are now.
Yeah, it's weird his talent wasn't enough to do anything for the NRA, and yet he's still the highly most shared, one of the most shared people on Facebook.
One wonders, well, where you get that type of infrastructure, that type of support. I mean, it takes that, right? I mean, it takes maybe advertising dollars. I don't know. It's shocking because I don't think most people know who he is for someone to have be that well-traveled on Facebook. But who knows? Here he is trying to respond to the fact that people, that doctors, some at Walter Reed, were just horrified at the idea that Donald Trump would basically put a bunch of Secret Service people, officers or people who protect him, in a hermetically sealed vehicle as he is still contagious. And here's Dan Bongino explaining why that's okay.
I did hear someone say, we don't even know the situation of those Secret Service individuals. They might have already had COVID, or maybe there's plexiglass in between the front seat and the back seat, like all the New York City taxi cabs and Ubers.
Well, Ainsley, you, God forbid, like you're actually asking sensible questions. I don't expect that of these media buffoons who have the spines of a jellyfish to be commenting on the risk they're in. Again, I don't remember any of those stories when we took knowing risks. You know, when I remember when I was over in Afghanistan with Obama and we had to turn the lights out for Air Force One so we didn't get hit with IDF mortar fire. Remember that story? Yeah, nobody else does either because we don't talk about it. That's what we do. And everyone else in the media commenting, all of a sudden they care. They're using this story to bash Trump, right. And it's disgusting.
All right.
So let me get this straight. The president going over to show support and maybe to negotiate. I'm not sure exactly what Bongino is referring to. I think it was maybe to negotiate sort of some type of exit from Afghanistan, or at least a drawdown. Engaging in diplomacy where there are military personnel engaging in war. The risks associated with that are justified in the same way that when the president wants to go out and wave to supporters while he's infecting people in a car, those are the same. I mean, it's quite possible the Secret Service members have the antibodies in that car. Announce it then. Let people know. Why wouldn't you tell people that? If that was the case, why wouldn't you tell people? Just to know the president would never willingly or willfully endanger anyone else with the COVID. Having gone through having to receive oxygen himself, he knows how difficult this is. Therefore, we only have Secret Service members who are COVID antibody positive. Or we have these mechanisms. I mean, did we miss that report? We must have. But this is the president risking, very possibly, risking the lives of those Secret Service members in the same way that his administration has been risking the lives of millions of Americans. He's got an agenda, and everything else is going to conform to it. And he's confident he'll turn out okay at the end of the day because he has access to the best possible health care that exists in the world. Right? I mean, absolutely nuts. I want to get to this story that is a little bit off topic, but maybe not too off topic. I'm going to take a 10-second break here. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking about the Supreme Court and a case that they decided to hear that came out of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court. That is, I think many people are concerned, will complete the process of completely gutting the Voting Rights Act. Back in just about 10, 15 seconds. Okay, we're back. Incidentally, today is the first day that we are playing the first hour of this program on the NBC's Peacock app. You can find it on, if you search the channel, The Choice. You can find us there every day, 5 p.m. Eastern, with the first hour of this program. Mehdi Hasan has a show on the Choice. Zerlina Maxwell also has a new show on the Choice, and today it debuts. So that is fun. And if you are watching us on the Choice, welcome. We're here 5 days a week, and appreciate you tuning in. One of the things that we like to talk about on this program is are the courts. And I'm afraid one way or another, it's very likely that we're going to gain a greater appreciation, particularly on the left, of what courts can enable and what courts can prevent from taking place in making people's lives better in this country. And we'll discuss this more, I think, in the next hour. But the Democrats do have an opportunity to slow the roll right now. Today, and at the time in which we're saying this, we don't know the outcome of this. But Mitch McConnell is looking for unanimous consent to adjourn the Senate and return in, where are we today? In about 2 weeks, a little bit less. As you know, there are multiple Republican senators now. Three, Mike Lee, Tom Tillis, Ron Johnson, who are sick with COVID. There may be others that are quarantining. I suspect they should be. But the Democrats, one Democrat, doesn't have to be Chuck Schumer, although I imagine Chuck Schumer weighs in pretty heavily on this. One Democrat can say, we need to check whether there's a quorum. That's all they need to say. Quorum check. And then the process starts and you need to have a quorum in the Senate. And if no Democrats show up and Vice President Pence does not count for quorum, then you need 51 senators showing up. You need all the Republican senators to show up to move things forward. You can still have committee hearings without quorum, at least in the broad Senate. I don't know if you can do committee hearings by remote, because the Senate, unlike the House, has not set up any type of mechanism for proxy voting. The Democrats can throw some real gum into the works, as it were. It's just going to be a question if they have the will, whether it's important enough to slow the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett. Even if they lose this fight, there is a lot to be gained in its loss. If they are able to push it to after the election, into the lame duck, even if Mitch McConnell's able to ram it through then, which I don't think is a 100% guarantee, that's the reason why he wants to move it now. There's all sorts of things I think we've seen just in the past week that can go sideways. There's only one way the Democrats are going to be able to address the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett, and that is to reform the Supreme Court, to expand the number of members on the Supreme Court, maybe to institute, after that, term limits. There needs to be a reformation of that process. And we will find out as of tomorrow whether the Democrats are going to decide to actually try and attempt to do that. They can, or they can just avoid the whole thing and just hope that it's a good fodder for the election. But this is a perfect example of why the Supreme Court is so important. In 2013, the Roberts Court gutted Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. This was the preclearance provision that caused, I think it's about 14 states, maybe about 16 counties around the country, including counties in New York City, even. Most people think it's just mostly in the South, and it is mostly in the South, but there's still other counties that had a history of disenfranchising minorities in terms of their vote. And so any changes that they wanted to institute in terms of their voting process had to be pre-cleared by the Department of Justice, Civil Rights Division. Even though the Voting Rights Act had been reauthorized by a Republican-controlled Senate as recently as, I think it was 2007, sometime around there, the Roberts Court said, essentially, racism is not around in a institutionalized way. This is unfair to those states. The concept of preclearance we're okay with, but not the way that it's done here. So it's done. Preclearance is done. Literally, almost every single state that was no longer under the preclearance provision changed their voting right, their voting laws in such a way to disenfranchise minorities. Huge rash of these. Then, 2 years ago, I think it was in 2018, the case came out of Texas. You had, it was Abbott v. Perez. And essentially what Abbott v. Perez said was that, okay, we're going to give all the benefit of the doubt to the lawmakers that their intent to be racist is really not there. Even if, like, it's been determined that they've done stuff in the past that is racist, and that even if the same thing that they did was racist in its result, we're just going to give them the benefit of the doubt about intent. So it became virtually impossible to prove racist intent, except for in the absolute most egregious cases, right? Like, we're, I don't know, the governor comes out and says, listen, we're going to be very racist in the way that we draw these lines, and that's that. There is now a new case that the Supreme Court has taken. It came out of Arizona. Mark Joseph Stern wrote about it back in January of this year when it was heard. The Ninth Circuit of Appeals. There were two different cases, really, two different aspects of this. One, Arizona Republicans passed a law that basically said, if you vote in a precinct that is not yours, then those ballots are going to be thrown out. Now, understand, this is not on its face. It's like, well, why can't people get it together? There's multiple situations in, like, say, Maricopa County, where you drive by multiple polling places to get to yours. They were specifically have played around with where people vote to make it at the edge of their district. Even if the voter is eligible to vote, regardless of, even if they voted for the right positions in a provisional ballot, the ballot is discarded. Arizona discarded over 35,000, almost 40,000 votes by registered voters from 2008 to 2016. Exponentially more than any other state. And overwhelmingly people of color. The rate of this type of voting, they call it OOP, out-of-precinct voting, in Pima County was 100%, 150% higher for Hispanics, 80% higher for Blacks, 74% higher for Native Americans than for white voters. Voting Rights Act says that if there is a disparate impact on minority voters, then it is de facto racist and is a must be struck down. Maricopa County, where 60% of Arizonans reside, slashed the number of polling places by 70% between 2012 and 2016 as part of this program, essentially. And the this court, this appeals court, Ninth Circuit, overturned it. There was another provision, HB 2023, which prevented community organizers from collecting absentee ballots and turning them into election officials. There's been no evidence of any shenanigans or any widespread fraud or anything like that. In 2011, when Arizona first tried to pass it, the state's election director admitted to the Department of Justice that it was, quote, targeted at voting practices in predominantly Hispanic areas. And the DOJ was going to say, like, well, you don't get preclearance for that. So they Arizona pulled back. But as you know, preclearance has subsequently been destroyed by the Supreme Court. They ended up passing that law. It was struck down by the Ninth Circuit in January. And now it's going to be heard by the Supreme Court of the United States. There was someone working in Ronald Reagan's civil rights division of his Justice Department, I don't know, 40 years ago. The 80s, who had a problem with that so-called results test, right? Where you don't need to prove racial intent, racist intent to find these laws. racist in practice. You just need to see a result that is disparate, where it impacts people of color more than it does white people in terms of disenfranchising them. That's the third prong of the Voting Rights Act. We had the preclearance, we had the racial intent, and we have the racial results test. There was a guy working in Ronald Reagan's administration fighting against the results test. He wanted Reagan to veto the law establishing the results test. And that guy who wrote all those memos was John Roberts. So when they get, now it's 5-4. I mean, that could be all they wrote. When they get 6-3, excuse me, it's 5-3. When they get to 6-3, forget about it. They're going after the Voting Rights Act. It is the primary vehicle in which Republicans can win national elections, is to disenfranchise a lot of voters. We will be talking more about this and more about hopefully what the Democrats do in the Senate today and for the rest of the term in terms of slowing this roll. But that is our time today for the first hour of the program. Thanks for joining us. We, of course, will be back here tomorrow. In the meantime, for those of you sticking around for the second hour, you can call the program at 646-257-3920. We will take phone calls in the fun half. Also, just a reminder, this program relies on your support. You can become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. You can also check out the AM Quickie at amquickie.com. 6-7 minutes in the morning, every morning, headline news. Totally free. You can find it on all your podcast platforms. Don't forget, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Nomi's show is not happening today. It only happens Tuesday through Friday. Forgot about that. Not on Mondays. But you can go back. It's always living on YouTube. Find it at the Nomiki Show, nomikishow.com, or excuse me, youtube.com/the Nomiki Show. Darn it. Also, check out the Antifada. Find that at patreon.com/the Antifada. Matt, what's happening on TMBS this week? Oh, and I should also remind people, we're going to do the debate coverage on Wednesday night. Not exactly sure how we're going to go about doing it, but we'll figure out something. COVID rules. Matt, what's happening on TMBS?
I'm surprised they're still doing the debate, but yeah. I am tomorrow on TMBS. We have Luke Mayville is going to talk to us about how to win and not to win in red states. And then also Matt Karp, we're going to talk about kind of a final word on Bernie 2020. And he's going to talk to us about the Supreme Court and the radical Republicans and maybe some other historical perspective on how we can, you know, attack this stolen institution. So yeah, that's tomorrow night on TMBS, patreon.com/TMBS.
Radical Republicans in terms of like what happened during Reconstruction?
Yeah, well, I think that whole era, the general, you know, footing against, seeing there's more awareness of the Supreme Court as like a reactionary body that was standing in the way of people's liberation. So we're going to try to bring that back.
Right. And could you say radical Republicans? It meant a very different thing 150 years ago than it means today.
Yeah, it meant good things back then.
Exactly. Yeah, we are. Yes, we can. DJ Dan Arkey. Jamie, what's happening on the Antifada?
So this week on the Antifada, in terms of what is out now, we still have a hot, fresh History as a Weapon from last week, wherein Sean KB and Matt Chrisman break down the whole QAnon phenomenon and try to make sense of it in terms of political economy. Also this week, we are releasing an interesting episode that we did with our friends at Swampside Chats. They have a series called Swamp Trek, where they watch episodes of Star Trek and talk about them with various friends and collaborators. So we'd never released that in our feed before, and I feel like not that many of our listeners listened to it. So we break down an episode of Star Trek and all the cool space communist stuff that happens on it. Don't ask me which one. I was not prepared to do this plug, but it's really cool and it's coming out on Wednesday. Patreon.com/TheAntifada.
I'm going to take a quick break. Be right back after this.
You're in for it.
All right, folks. 646-257-3920. See you in the fun.
Are you ready?
Who sent us this?
Alpha males are back, boy is back, and the alpha males are back,
just as delicious as you can imagine.
The alpha males are back, boy is back, and the alpha males are back.
Just wanna degrade the white man.
Alpha males are back.
I take all of it in my throat.
Alpha males are back.
Almost says what?
The alpha males are back.
You are a madman!
And the alpha males are back.
I am a total cunt.
Can we bring back DJ Danner's song, please?
Yeah, or a couple of them. Just put them in rotation.
DJ Danner.
Well, the problem with those is they're like 45 seconds long, so I don't know if they're enough of a break.
That's fucking nonsense.
Hey, folks! Fucking reminder!
I do not have Parkinson's.
And the alpha males are
psych. Fuck them.
Almost says what?
What?
Almost says what?
A hell of a lot of bank.
All lives matter. Have you tried doing an impression on a college campus?
I think that there's no reason why reasonable people across the divide can't all agree with this. Psych.
And the alpha males are back. And the Africans are black. African. And the alpha males are back. And the Africans are black.
You see Donald Trump out there? Doesn't a little part of you think that America deserves to be taken over by jihadists? Keep it at 100.
Can't knock the hustle.
Come on! Fuck them.
Things I do for the bigger game plan.
By the way, it's my birthday! Happy birthday to me, Jew boy!
I have a thought experiment for you.
And the alpha males are back. Africans are black. Alpha males are back. Africans are black.
Come on!
Someone needs to pay the price for blasphemy around here.
I am a total
pussy.